Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur today, the second line from the top of the Afchof Beis. You'll notice at the end of the line a bow tie shape. This is indicative of a series marking, the first of which we saw on Chof Aleph, where we want to emphasize statements made by Rav Kahana. In other words, without the marking, and one would just read the continuation of this particular opening piece of Gemara, one would be hard-pressed to see the connection between the Gemara and that which was said before. However, being the fact that these are statements by Rav Kahana, so we see a connection. Truth be told, that if you analyze the upcoming Gemara a little deeper, you might find more connections, but on the surface of things, it would appear that these are statements made by Rav Kahana. So our Gemara is introduced with our noseh, our topic heading on the outside margin, where we've written drosha al haposuk vabor reik ein bo ma'avi. Gemara will have a drosha, will feature a drosha on this posuk that's found in the context of Yosef and his brothers, where they had been upset with the dreams that he had told them, and they wanted to rid themselves of his presence, so they put him in a pit. So the pasuk describes the pit that they placed him in was an empty pit that had no water in it. The Gemara will ask, though, there seems to be a redundancy in this pasuk, namely that once you tell me that the bor is empty, I understand there is no water in it. What does the pasuk gain by adding to the description of the emptiness? So let us see the Gemara. The Omer of Kahana, Dorash Rav Noson Bar Minyumi Mishmei de Rav Tanchum. Rav Kahana tells us that the following was told in the name of Rav Tanchum. Mai dichtiv habor reik ein bo mayim. What is meant by the posuk that says that the pit was empty and there was no water? Mimashma shenemar habor reik. From the fact that the posuk says that the bor was empty, eini yodea shein bo mayim, would I not know that there is no water in there? So what is gained by adding that there is no water? Once again, by having said it's empty, I understand there's no water in there. The Torah doesn't have to spell out the obvious. The Gemara answers that it's taught for me to make an inference. Mayim Einbo. The emptiness that the Pasuk describes in the beginning is a limited emptiness. It's empty from water. Avol nechoshim v'akrovim yeshbo, but there were snakes and scorpions in there. So Yosef's experience in the bor was actually a treacherous experience, and his salvation would be classified as miraculous, that he was thrown into the pit with these injurious creatures around. And it's interesting to note that if you base yourself on the Gemara that was mentioned in Maseches Brochas about Nechoshim and Akrovim, a couple things are interesting. The Nechoshim themselves, the Gemara says that if one stands in davening and a Nechosh is Koruch ala Kevo, so he doesn't stop his davening because the Nechosh doesn't pose an imminent threat if you're not confronting it. If you're stable and quiet, so it doesn't pose a threat. The Akrovim, on the other hand, they do pose a threat. Even if you are quiet, they will attack. Tosfos in Maseches Brachos points out, though, that with regard to serpents, if you are thrown on them or create a rumbling in their vicinity, so they will also pose a danger. So with regard to Yosef, the Pasuk in Bereishis, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chof, describes them, the brothers as saying, V'ata l'chu v'nargeu v'nashlicheu el achad haboros. And let us throw him into one of the boroughs. So it seems to me that even the Nechoshim posed an imminent danger to him. So his salvation from that pit was quite miraculous, that not only the Akrovim posed a danger, but the Nechoshim as well, because he was thrown into the pit, thereby causing a type of shaking or rumbling that would have aroused the snakes as well. The Gemara continues now with a new topic on the side, a new topic meaning in the general topic of Ner Hanukkah. We have a new nosei, a topic heading on the side, where we've written Manichim HaChanukia. We place the Hanukkah menorah b'tefach hasomuch lePesach, within a handbreadth of the doorway, and we'll see a machlokis ei b'tzad yamin oi b'tzad smol, to the right hand side of the doorway or the left hand side of the doorway. Omar Rabba, Ner Hanukkah, Mitzvah L'Anicho B'Tefach HaSmucha L'Pesach. The preferable way of, the preferred way of placing or location for the Ner Hanukkah is within a handbreadth of the doorway. V'Heichol Monachle, where with regard to the doorway is it placed? Rav Achabrei de Rava Omar Miyamin, he is opinion number one, and opinion number two, Miyamin means from the right hand side, and Rav Shmuel Bar Midifti, Omar Shmuel, Omar Mismol. So Rav Shmuel Midifti says from the left hand, on the left hand side of the doorway. And when we speak about right hand side, left hand side, it's a reference to when you're walking into the building. These are the sides. The Hilchasa Mismoil. The preferred way, the rule, the way we rule is on the left hand side of the doorway. That way, when you're entering the building on Hanukkah, you'll find the Hanukkah menorah placed on the left-hand side and the mezuzah on the right-hand side of the door. So as you walk in, you're surrounded by these mitzvos. Omar of Yehuda, Omar Rav Asi. Also, laharzus mois keneged ner Hanukkah. We should point out on the side we have a nosei, a topic heading. The line of the Gemara we just read is part of our nosei, which ein laharzus mois laor neros Hanukkah. One should not count his change with the light of the neros Hanukkah. And we will also discuss bizui mitzvah, the concept of desecrating or belittling a mitzvah in the context of Ner Hanukkah, Noi Sukkah, the Sukkah decorations, and Kisui Hadam, the covering of blood after the slaughtering of a bird or chaya, undomesticated kosher variety animal. The Torah has a requirement to cover the blood. We cover the blood with a layer of dirt from underneath and above. The Gemara, Omar, we read already the first point, and that's Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav Asi, also laharzos mois kenegin ner Hanukkah. It's also to count out money, coins in the light of ner Hanukkah. Ki amriso kame de Shmuel, Omar li. So when this is Rav Yehuda is telling us that when I told this halacha over to Shmuel, v'chi ner Hanukkah kedusha yesh ba. So Rav Shmuel reacted and said, is there some type of holiness associated with the Neros Hanukkah? If there's something that holy, we've learned this in previous sugyas, where something is sanctified, so there is an Iser Mi'ila, an Iser of deriving personal benefit from something. So by telling me that I cannot count out change in front of the Neros Hanukkah, you're implying that there's some type of prohibition of deriving personal benefit from it, indicating that they were sanctified. Is it so that Neros Hanukkah are sanctified? So according to Shmuel, he wants to suggest that it's mutter to count the change with the light of the Neros Hanukkah. And by the way, this discussion of Mutu Lishtamish Lora and also Lishtamish Lora, we saw this already back on Daf Chof Aleph, where we saw a machlokis between, we saw a three-way machlokis, Rav Huna, Rav Chista, and Rav. And we saw, in fact, that Rav Chista and Rav Huna were of the opinion that it's Osir Lishtamish Leora. And we saw Rav holding that it's mutter, and Tosis pointed out that we will follow the halacha that it's also We should, let's be more accurate there, that Rav held it was a mutter lishtamish, was also lishtamish laura. Rav Chisda, Rav Huna holding it was also lishtamish laura, that it was a mutter. Sorry, we're being a little confusing, but we have, it was a machlokis there, where, as we said, Rav held that it was also lishtamish laura, and Tosus pointed out that we paskin like that because we find a number of other deos holding like Rav. But anyway, Shmuel comes forth with the opinion that it is mutter lishtamish laura. So maskif law, Rav Yosef. Here we have a question raised by Rav Yosef, and the question lasts several lines. You can see we have a long question marking with a kuf encircled and a descending dotted dashed line indicating the length of the question. So Rav Yosef asks, if chidam kedusha yeshbo, would you say that blood of common slaughtering of chayos and oifos has a holiness associated with it? And there is no holiness with regard to slaughtering blood, and yet we find that you can't do with it whatever you like. Disanya, and here we have a Tanaic source that speaks about the mitzvah of kisui hadam that we mentioned before. It says v'shafach v'chisa b'mesh shafach yichaseh. With that which you spilled the blood, meaning you slaughtered and caused the flow of the blood, you do the covering. How did you do the slaughtering? With a knife held in your hand. Shelo yechasenu beregel. You don't kick the dirt over the blood. Shelehe mitzvahs bezuyo solov. So that the mitzvahs don't appear to be something desecrated or belittled in your eyes. And by kicking dirt over the blood, it would be a very offhanded approach to the performance of the mitzvah. So that the point is that the dam of kisui hadam, is to be done in a respectful fashion, even though it's not sanctified. Hachinami, so too with regard to the Neros Hanukkah, that we say, that Rav Yehuda is pointing out, that we do not use their light. It's shaloye mitzvahs bezuyos olav. It's a way to preserve the dignity of the mitzvah. They should not be bezuyos, belittled in your eyes. Bo mine meirav Yoshua ben Levi. The question was asked of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Mahu listapik minoy sukkah kol shiva. Can one derive benefit, or let's say listapik is to use the decorations that were placed in a sukkah during the 7 days of Sukkot. The decorations spoken about here in the Rashi describes them as different types of fruits. Not only Rashi, but you'll find this in the Tanaic source that's featured in the Gemara coming up, describes different types of fruits that they used to place on the top of the sukkah in decorating it. So can you take off from the sukkah decorations fruits and eat them during the holiday of Sukkot? Before we go further, we have a topic heading, and which reads Ein listapik minoy sukkah kol shiva, and the mivneh under our structural note we have diamonds that are featured. These are hesberim leisur hanal. So the question was asked of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, can you use them? And Omarle, he says, Harei Omru, Osur Lahartzos Mois Kineged Ner Chanukah. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's answer is based on that which we saw before, that it's also to count change using the light of the Chanukah candles. So just like the Chanukah candles, what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is doing, he's using the Chanukah candles as the precedent for the Noi Sukkah. Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef responds, "More davron." This is an expression of exclamation. It's like someone swears something. "More davron," literally, "Master of Abraham." Toli tanya v'dolo tanya, sukkah tanya Hanukkah lo tanya. How can it be that Rabbi Shimon Levi answers by making the halacha of the Noi Sukkah, which is something that's taught in a Tanaic source, dependent on something that is not from a Tanaic source? it seems like it's odd that you would make something that is that has a tradition of Tanaic something of Tanaic origin, dependent on something that's a mere maimra of Ravasi, and that's what he asks here. Desanya, now he brings the Tanaic source that mentions the Noi Sukkah, the Sukkah decorations, and the restriction from benefiting from them. So what's bothering Rav Yosef is why is it that Rav Shul ben Levi uses the Ner Sukkah, the Ner Chanukah, as a precedent for the Sukkah decorations. The Sanya, as we said, here we have the source that talks about the Sukkah decorations. Sochacha kehilchisa, you covered a Sukkah properly. The Itra bekrumim, now we have as a list of different items that use for decorations. The specific translations of each one is not essential for understanding the Gemara right now. So it says Itra means he decorated it with krumim, Rashi explains, are different kinds of sheets, colorful sheets of material. That's bikrumim uvasdinim hametsuyarim. Means that they have decoration. They have different images that are painted on them. The tola ba, and he hung from the sukkah egoizim afarsikim shkedim rimoinim parchile anovim v'atrois shel shibolim yenois shmonim v'siltos, wine and oils and different types of flour. All of these different decorations are osur l'histapek mehen ad motzoi yom tov v'acharon shel chag. It is also to draw from them, to use them until the end of the Sukkah holiday. That means until motzoi, to the end of yom tov v'acharon shel chag, until the end of Shmini Atzeres, or the end of the end of the Sukkah holiday altogether. V'im hisno aleihem hakol l'fi tano. And if he had made a condition concerning them, meaning he stated that he doesn't want them to be, he wants to bear in mind, or he wants to stipulate that he will draw from them, then he will be able to draw from them. That is, his condition would prevent them from becoming prohibited and beyond the realm of his use. Elo Omar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, as opposed to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, who answered the issue of the Noi Sukkah, the question regarding the Noi Sukkah from Neiris Chanukah, Rav Yosef said, Avuhon de Kulho Dam. The source, Avuhon literally the father of, means the source of all of these different halachas, is the halacha concerning Kisui Hadam. And the halacha concerning Kisui Hadam we learn from a pasuk. The pasuk said, Vishafach v'chisa. And we saw in the drasha above, the way that you slaughtered, namely with using your hands, of course using a knife, that is the way you do the covering. In other words, in an honorable fashion. And it's when you have something dedicated to a mitzvah, it's the honor of the mitzvah is leaving it and reserved for the mitzvah, not for any personal use. Once again, not a function of it having been sanctified, but it's a function of honoring the mitzvah. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice some triangles that appear, a series marking, and on the side, under our Mivneh heading, we list Sidro Shel Halachas. We have a list of halachas. The opening, the first one, is relevant to the Neros Chanukah discussion, and then we have two other mitzvahs. Each one of them features a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, and the Gemara will then tell us that as far as halachas in general are concerned, Rabba used to paskin like Rav, with the exception of these three halachas where he paskins like Shmuel. So now the three halachas: Itmar, Rav Omar, Ein Madlikin Miner Lener. One does not light when he has several Hanukkah candles, he doesn't use one Hanukkah candle to light the other. Exactly what is meant by that will be the subject of discussion later in the Gemara, but for our purposes, what Rav, the ideal situation as far as Rav is concerned, is that you have a standard candle or a long burning match, if you will, and you use that. You use the non-Hanukkah candle or the long burning match or several matches, if you will, to light the Hanukkah candles. But do not use one Hanukkah candle to light to be the source of the flame for the next Hanukkah candle. Ushmuel Omar Madlikin. Shmuel says you can light one from the other. Rav Omar Ein Matirin Tzitzis Mibeged Lebeged. One is not to remove the tzitzis from the corner of an existing beged, an article of clothing that has tzitzis on it, and untie the tzitzis in order to tie them into another article of clothing that currently does not have tzitzis. Ushmul Omar Matirin mi beged le beged. Shmuel says you can remove tzitzis from one article of clothing to another article of clothing. Rav Omar Ein Halacha Karevi Shimon Begreira. Rav says we will not rule like Rabbi Shimon with regard to the grera, means dragging literally. But that's to do with dragging a bed on a dirt floor surface. And the fear of dragging a bed on a dirt floor surface is that the weight of the bed might cause a ditch to be formed as you drag the bed. And creating a ditch on a dirt floor involves you with a Meleches Shabbos issue of a possible Shabbos violation. Call it Meleches Harisha, possibly. The Melacha of plowing. And that's one of the 39 forbidden creative activities on Shabbos. And Ushmul Omar Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon Megreira. We didn't point out that Shitas Rabbi Shimon is Dovar She'ein Miskavein is Mutter. That means that if you do something without the intent, you have no intent for that outcome. Your interest is simply in moving the location, changing the location of the bed from one corner of the room to the other. But it happens to be on a dirt floor. Rabbi Shimon says you're allowed to drag the bed from one corner of the room to the other, even though a ditch may result. You don't have intent for that outcome. And therefore, it's allowed. There is Rabbi Yehuda who argues with him and says it's not allowed. And Rav says the halacha is not going to be like the lenient ruling of Rabbi Shimon. And Ushmuel says the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon in Gera. Omar Abaye, Kol Mili de Mor, all of the halachic practices of Mor. Mor is Rabbo Bar Nachmeni, who was Abaye's teacher. So all matters of Rabbo, Ovid Kirav, he would practice like Rav's rulings in halacha. Labar Mehani Tlas Ovid Shmuel, the exception of these three that he practiced like Shmuel, and they are Madlikin Miner Liner, the lighting of one candle from the other, Umatirin Mibega Lebega, the removal of tzitzis from one garment to the next, V'halocha Rav Shimon Megreiro, Desanyo, and Halocha like Rav Shimon with regard to dragging things, as is featured in the following Tanaic source, Rav Shimon Omer Gorer Odom, Mito, Kise Besafsol, a person is allowed to drag a bed, a chair, a bench, Ubavashali Iskavein Lasos Kritz, provided he doesn't have intent for making a ditch. Yosef Hahu Merabonon Kamei de Rav Ado Bar Avo the Yosef Vikomar. Now here we have some rabbinic figure was sitting in the presence of Rav Ado, and he was saying the reason for Rav that Asur's lighting Miner Liner. You'll see with our markings, we have a double underline, and it's featured on the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh Henning, Ta'amei Derav, that we have double underline, Shnei De'ois Loma Rav Ois Lahadlik Miner Liner B'Neris Hanukkah. Two opinions as to why Rav forbids the lighting of one candle with the other. So the first opinion is, Mishum Bizui Mitzvah. Looking at Rashi, we have a little star, Taimo de Rav, Rashi, close to the bottom of the Rashi commentary, says, the reason for Rav miner l'ner mishum bizui mitzvah. It's the denigration of the mitzvah. Shemadli kesom sheino min mitzvah miner shel mitzvah umadlik mimenu umimenu madlik hashar. What's the bizui mitzvah miner l'ner? Is that you have a one Hanukkah candle that's currently burning. You'll take a kesam. A kesam is the equivalent of a match. And you'll take the match to the Hanukkah candle. Kesam literally is a splinter of wood, a little piece of wood. And you'll light that little piece of wood from the existing Hanukkah candle that's burning. And that little piece of wood is not related at all to the mitzvah. So it's a denigration of the mitzvah. You're taking a mitzvah flame and lighting a non-mitzvah flame with it. The match per se is not a mitzvah. It might be a means to lighting the next Hanukkah candle, but nevertheless, going from the existing Hanukkah candle flame to the match, that is a step down. And that's called bizui mitzvah. The Gemara continues, Omar Lahu. So here you have Rav Ado responding. He says, Lo ta tzisu le. Don't listen to him. What we just heard as the reason for Rav. Rather, time is Rav mishum de komakhish mitzvah. The reason for Rav of Ein Malika Miner Lener is because you are weakening the mitzvah. Now, what do we mean by that? So we look at Rashi, Akushi, the Mechsi. Now, we squiggle line Mechsi because literally Akushi means to weaken the mitzvah. In other words, you're weakening the flame. But in all actuality, when you light one thing from another, using lighting a flame from an existing flame, you're not weakening the pre-existing flame. But there's an appearance that in other words, you're drawing from it. So the fact that you're drawing from it gives the impression that you're weakening, and that's why Rashi uses the word demechsi. It gives it the appearance. Keman deshokil nehoiro v'shoyev ktsas milachluchis shimnoi. It's as if it gives you the impression that you're drawing from the flame and thereby drawing some of the oil from the first fire, from the first candle. So the Gemara now asks, "My Binah, what would be a practical difference between these two opinions, Bizui Mitzvah versus Makrish Mitzvah?" Answer: Iko Binayu de Komadlik Mishroga Lishroga, that you're lighting directly from one Hanukkah candle to the next Hanukkah candle. In other words, without the intervention of a match. Manda Omar Mishum Bizui Mitzvah. According to the Bizui Mitzvah approach, the denigration of a mitzvah, of lighting a non-mitzvah element from that which is a mitzvah element, Mishroga Lishroga Madlik, from one candle directly to the next candle would be allowed, because you're taking a pre-existing Hanukkah candle mitzvah, directly lighting the next Hanukkah candle, which is also a mitzvah. You're going from mitzvah to mitzvah directly. So there's no Bizui Mitzvah. Madar Mishum Dekomat Mishum Akushi mitzvah, but the opinion that says this concept of weakening of mitzvah, so mishrogel shroganami also, lighting from one candle to the next candle would also be prohibited. In other words, we wouldn't make an allowance to weaken the existing mitzvah for the sake of another mitzvah. We continue with a new marking, and on the side we have a mivneh, kushios al hata'omim hamuskarim. We're going to be raising questions on the reasons that were just given. So the first question, you'll notice a kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line, which continues a number of lines down the top of Omid Beis. Mosiv Rav Avyo. Rav Avyo raises a question. Sela is a coin. Sela, shell. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Meiser Sheni is a tithe one takes from his fruits every first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shvius agricultural tithe cycle. Meiser Sheni is a tithe, one tenth of your fruits that one is expected to take, separate from his harvest, and eat them in Yerushalayim. There's also an option that Torah provides if it's too difficult for one to bring the fruits to Yerushalayim, so he's able to hode the fruits. That means he transfers the sanctity that is represented by the Maaser Sheni and redeems the fruits, and the Kedusha goes on to the coins. So right now we have a coin of Maaser Sheni. And we coins in the time of the Gemara and even up to recent times in coin history, coins had an intrinsic value, and meaning that the metallic value that was it was either silver or gold coins, they had an intrinsic value, and naturally the weight of the coin was of significance. So this source deals with you have now a coin of Maaser Sheni, Ein Shoiklin Kenegdoi Dinorei Zahav. One cannot use a balance scale. Putting on one side of the balance scale a Maaser Sheni coin, bearing in mind the Maaser Sheni coin has sanctity attached to it, you can't use it if you know, let's say, the weight of that coin, and you don't know the weight of these of this dinares of other coins, they happen to be gold coins, so you can't use the Maaser Sheni coin to balance other dinares of. Even if your intent is to use these other coins for redemption of Maaser Sheni, so that even though your whole purpose here is a mitzvah-related purpose, you can't use something that has mitzvah sanctity attached to it for the purpose of measuring something else. E. Amris, the Gemara now analyzes this source and the reasons given before for Rav's Isser of Ein Madlikin Miner Liner. So E. Amris, Bishamo Kipligi Rav Shmuel Miner Liner, Avo Bekinsa Osar Shmuel. If you say that the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel concerned Miner Liner, where there was an issue of Akushi Mitzvah but no issue of Bizui Mitzvah. And in the case of Kinsa, the match, Osar Shmuel, Shmuel Asard, in other words, Shmuel says that Bizui Mitzvah is not allowed. So then, Ha Lo Teve Tufta, the case of the Maaser Sheni, which is an issue of Bizui Mitzvah, so the source above would not pose a question on Shmuel. Let's go over this point again. We saw the machlokus Rav and Shmuel in the case of Miner Liner. What was the basis of the machlokus? So we saw two reasons given on Omer Aleph. So one of the two approaches said that the basis of the Isser, or the issue came up, or the machlokus Rav and Shmuel came up, if you're going to be using, let's say this, one of the two opinions said that the Isser will come up if you're lighting from one candle to the next. But if it was an issue of a match, everyone would agree that it's forbidden. That was the approach that said that the machlokis has to do with akushi mitzvah. As far as bizui mitzvah is concerned, everyone would agree that it's forbidden. If you take that approach, and by way of our markings, we saw the double underlines on Omer Aleph, that would be represented by the second of the double underlines, where the only concern was Akushi Mitzvah. The only concern of Rav was that, namely, which may be more accurately, the only concern of Shmuel was Akushi Mitzvah, but Bizui Mitzvah certainly would be Osir. Shmuel was willing to be lenient from Miner Liner because he wasn't worried about Akushi Mitzvah, the weakening approach. But he would not have allowed using a match. So that being said, this source on the top is not a problem. Eloi Amris Bekins, we should point out maybe the obvious, but in the Maaser Sheni coin, there's no issue of Akushi Mitzvah. The coin remains a coin. You're not drawing anything from the coin, from the Maaser Sheni coin on one side of the balance scale. The only issue is the use of the coin for a weighing purpose, for weighing coins. So that would be in the realm of Bizui Mitzvah, using a holy coin as a weight. The Gemara continues, Elo I Amris Bekinsa Nami Shori. If you're going to say that like the approach of Bizui Mitzvah, the first of the answers given on Omid Aleph, where Rav was explained as the Isser of Miner Lener is Bizui Mitzvah, and Shmuel is allowing that, and that's represented by the use of the kinsa, the use of the match, and that Shmuel allows Bizui Mitzvah, Ha Teve Tufta. The above source of Meiser Sheni would be a repudiation of Shmuel, because in the Meiser Sheni case, with the using the holy coin as a weight, as a balance weight, there we see it's prohibited. Shmuel was allowing the equivalent, namely Bizui Mitzvah, in the case of the Ner Chanukah. We have a Tanaic source against Shmuel. Omar Rabba explains that this is no kasha on Shmuel, because this source with the Meiser Sheni coin is a greater bizui than the case of using a match for lighting Hanukkah candles. And Rabba says, Gzeiro Shemo lo yechave mishkaloisav v'komapik lehu lechulin. The fear is, with the Meiser Sheni, is that let's say you use the Meiser Sheni coin and you found that the coins on the other side of the balance scale did not meet your weight requirements. There was a discrepancy, we'll say, in the weight. And he would end up not using those other coins for Meiser Sheni redemption. So that at the end of the day, with the Meiser Sheni coin case, you might have no mitzvah outcome whatsoever. Whereas in the case of the Hanukkah candles, it's true that the immediate lighting of the match from the pre-existing Hanukkah candle might be a step down, but a mitzvah at the end is going to be performed with that match. You're going to be lighting another Hanukkah candle. So that the Meiser Sheni situation above, Shmuel will acknowledge that that certainly is forbidden, because you might have no mitzvah outcome whatsoever. The translation of the Gemara is, we say Gezerah, we don't allow the Meiser Sheni weighing, even though you had an intent to use those other coins for further Meiser Sheni redemption. However, Shemo lo yechavi mishkaloisav, there might be a discrepancy in the weights, and you'll find that the weight of the other coin is, let's say it's weightier than your coin, and you don't want to use that expensive coin for your redemption of further Meiser Sheni. The komapik lulechulin means, and as Rashi explains, and the coin will remain, chulin will remain for non-redemption purposes, thereby being that the original Meiser Sheni coin that you put on the first side of the balance scale was used for as a common weight, and there was no mitzvah outcome. And as we said, Shmuel would acknowledge that that certainly is not allowed. Mosiv Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes raises an objection. Notice this is a long marking. We have a question, long question marking. And the Gemara will point out that we have a problem from the upcoming source on the reasons we gave before for Rav. And with the reasons we gave before for Rav, indicating to us what the machlokas Rav and Shmuel would be, let's see how this unfolds. Mosiv Rav Sheshes. We have a pasuk that deals with the menorah that stood in the hechal of the Beis Hamikdash. Michutz leparochas eidus ya'aroch. The menorah was, ya'aroch means to set up, you would set up the candles on the other side of the parochas eidus, the curtain of testimony. Now, what does it mean, the curtain of testimony? We'll see a little bit more about this word testimony, but it's a reference to the curtain that was in the Mishkan that separated the area between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh. The Kodesh HaKadoshim contained the Holy Ark, which had the Ten Commandments, the tablets, the Luchos of the Ten Commandments. And that was on the inner chamber. And on the other side, we had the menorah along with the Shulchan and Mizbeach HaZov. So the Pasuk says that the in the Hechal of the Mishkan was a menorah. V'chi le'ora hu tzorech. Does he need the light? Now, the question of who this pronoun, who the he is, there's actually a machlokas in Tosfos. Tosfos presents a machlokas on how what the pronoun is referring to, but we'll just leave it right now. Is we could say taking one of the pshatim that we find, it's a reference to the Shekhinah. Does the Almighty need the light? And after you're lighting this in the temple of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, does he need the light? All 40 years that the Jewish people traveled in the desert, lo hochu elo lioro, they walked with his light. In other words, the Almighty provided light for them. So he's the creator of light. He himself doesn't need light. Elo edus hi l'chol boi ha'olam, the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash was a testimony, shehashchino shor b'Yisrael, that the divine presence dwells amongst the Jewish people. My edus, how does the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash, the candelabra in the Beis Hamikdash, serve as testimony to the presence of the divine presence in Israel? So the Gemara will explain that there was a miracle associated with that menorah. Omar Rav, Zu Ner Maravi. This Edus, the testimony referred to, is a reference to the Ner Maravi. Loosely translated, it means the Western candle. Without getting into details, let us just right now we'll just mention that there is a machlokas, and Rashi quotes this machlokas as to what it's a machlokas found in the Gemara in Maseches Menachos. Is it a reference to the second candle as you're going from east to west? The first candle is if you assume that the candles are set up in an east-west direction, so it would be the second candle after the easternmost candle. That would be one pshat. And the other pshat is if the candles were set up in a north-south direction, it would be the middle candle that was tilted a bit facing west. But that nevertheless is the Ner Maravi, She Nosein Bo Shem and Kamidas Chavrosel. The amount of oil that was placed in the east, in this Ner Maravi, was the same amount, the same quantity of oil as the other candles. We're dealing with a seven-branched menorah, and it ended up burning longer than all the rest of the candles. Umimeno Hoyo Maglik. We've dashed underline this because this is the main problem. It says here that from that the Kohen would light the other candles, ubo hoya mesayim, and with the job would be finished. Now we're not explaining what we mean by the job, because that itself is a machlokas in the Meforshim. Rashi explains that the hatava, the cleaning out of the neros, the western, this Ner Maravi was the last one to be cleaned out, which is the lashon of the Gemara, and the Torah is hatovas aneros, meitivas aneros, cleaning them out. So it was the last one to be cleaned. V'hohocha, kevon de kvii neros. We're dealing with a golden seven-branched oil candelabra that sat in the Beis Hamikdash. Kvii neros, was seven-branched with oil cups on the top. It was fixed. Lo sagia de lo mashkil vadluki. There was no other way to light it unless you took a kinsa. You were dealing again, as we said, there were seven branch golden menorah. You couldn't light one candle from the next candle. You know, so you couldn't use the first candle that was lit couldn't be used to light directly the next candle. How would you light the next candle? So after the first candle was lit, you would have to take as we said that the Ner Maravi burnt longer than all the rest, and you would take the fire from that Ner Maravi and light the other candles. Well, how would you take the fire from the Ner Maravi? You would have to take something like a piece of wood, something flammable that wasn't one of the candles, and then light this extraneous, this external flammable substance, and then so that you were going down a step, and then using that to light the next candle. Let's read the line again. Kevan de kvi neros, since the neros were fixed in a fixed position, lo sagya de lo mashkil vadluki, it's impossible that he wouldn't use a long match, let's just say, to light the other candles. So we're allowing kinsa. In the Beis HaMikdash, we're allowing kinsa. Tell me, of the all the opinions that we saw before in the Machlokas in Rav and Shmuel on the bottom of Omid Aleph, did anyone say that kinsa was allowed? So the Gemara says, Kashi, let's be more accurate. Did anyone say within Shitas Rav that kinsa was allowed? Kashya, bein lemando omar mishum bizu mitzvah, ubein lemando omar mishum akushi mitzvah. Using the match in lighting the candles would represent a problem for the opinion that said you cannot do bizui mitzvah. We're explaining the problem we said for Rav. Rav did not allow bizui mitzvah, but here we're using a match. The match represents bizui mitzvah. As far as weakening, certainly you have a case of weakening. You're drawing off, you're giving the appearance that you're drawing off power from the menorah candle to light this match. So we have two explanations before challenging or explaining why Rav asers miner l'ner, and according to either explanation for his restriction, here in the case of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, we were lenient. We were allowing those very things. We were allowing bizui mitzvah. We were allowing akushi mitzvah. The Gemara explains Tirgum Rav Papa bepsilos aruchos. Rav Papa explains, you know what happened in the Beis HaMikdash? The wicks of the Beis HaMikdash candles were very long. There was no match used. So you were, in effect, going directly from one candle of the Beis HaMikdash candelabra to the next candle. Oh, so if that be the case, so there's no bizui mitzvah. You're not using a match. Self, but nevertheless, lemadomar mishum akushi mitzvah kashya, according to the opinion that says there, that that explained Rav as you're not allowed to weaken the mitzvah, this still is a problem. So the Gemara says kashya, this is truly a problem. This remains as a problem. The explanation that we gave for Rav that says ein madlikim miner l'ner, and because of weakening of mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash, if you accept this pshat of psilas arukos, you were lighting miner l'ner directly from one candle to the next, and it was allowed. So that's a problem for the for that shita that explained that Rav's restriction is mishum akushi mitzvah. The Gemara asks, my havi alah. Well, like this type of question throughout the Shas is, what is the final psak? What is the halach? What is the final halachic ruling? So, as far as you might ask, the halachic ruling on what? So let us continue in the Gemara to see the direction the things take. Omer Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua Chazina. Let's evaluate. I hadloka oisa mitzvah. If the fulfillment of Hanukkah candles is the lighting of the candles, madlikin miner l'ner, I can use one Hanukkah candle to light the next Hanukkah candle. The Rashi at the lower part of the page, you can see the first of the widest lines under the Tosfos commentary. If the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah is dependent on the lighting, madlikin, you can light from one candle to the next, kidashkichon b'menorah, the precedent being the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. In the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, the issue was the mitzvah there was clearly lighting of the candles. That was the mitzvah. And what did they do there? They lit from one candle to the next. So then you would be able to go light from one candle to the next. And that would reflect Shmuel's approach to things. Madlikin miner l'ner. There's more to say on this topic. We just mentioned that Shmuel's approach, But we'll see, Mirtz Hashem, in learning the Tosis, there's a more detail to say about this. Continuing, V'i hanocha oisa mitzvah, if the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah is your, literally, you're placing it down. We'll see more about this idea of placing it down, but you might, for example, you might light the Hanukkah candles in one location, and then, or you might be holding it, and then you, with the mere lighting of the candles, that's not the fulfillment of the mitzvah, but it's the placing down of the Hanukkah candles in their proper location. That, by the way, this idea of hanocha, placing down, was not something that was done in the Beis Hamikdash. There, the menorah had a fixed location. It wasn't something that was lit and then placed down. So if you say hanocha oisa mitzvah, ein madlikin miner liner. Now, the Rashi says, ein madlikin miner liner, the hadloka lav mitzvah hi kulei hai. The lighting is not so much the mitzvah. It's a means to the mitzvah, but it's not the main aspect of the mitzvah. If that be the case, so then you don't have any right to light from one candle to the next. My feeling is that the right that you gain from lighting one candle to the next is, as the Gemara said, if you say hadloka is a mitzvah, we have a clear precedent for that practice in the Beis Hamikdash. If you don't say hadloka is a mitzvah, hanocha is a mitzvah, so we don't have a precedent for lighting from one candle to the next, and therefore it would become a problem. You wouldn't be allowed to do it. It's an interesting something that's interesting. We have to grapple with it. On the one hand, it's not the ikr, we're saying, using Rashi's approach, it's not the ikr mitzvah. On the other hand, it would constitute either bizui mitzvah or akushi mitzvah by lighting from one candle to the next. So there is still a certain mitzvah element that we are concerned with, but it's not the main mitzvah. So we're taking, this would be a very, we'll call it, restrictive approach to things. De'ibaya laho, here the Gemara mentions that the issue of hadloka versus hanocha is in fact something that was once raised as a question. And you probably got the sense that this appears to us as two opinions. One saying hadloka is a mitzvah, the other saying hanocha is a mitzvah. And here the Gemara backs up, so to speak, to present the original question raised on this topic. And we have on the side of our Gemara, under the topic heading, we have a Nosei heading, in which we've written Hadloko Hanochoi Samitzvah, and this discussion goes to Daf Chof Gimel Omer Aleph. The triangles that will appear shortly are appearing in two directions, and they represent Nisyonis Lifshot She'elo Hanal. These are attempts to resolve the above question, and these are attempts to resolve them lekan oy lekan, in either direction. With the point facing up, this is an attempt to show hanocha is a mitzvah, and with the point of the triangle facing down, it's an attempt to show hadloka is a mitzvah. We will also see the word hosam, double underline, which in effect is a rejection of whatever conclusion we were trying to reach. So as you look ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice these double underlines under the first two attempts, so that they are rejected. The third triangle which is inverted, which will show us which will attempt to show us hadloka is a mitzvah. So we will see at the end of that called the long answer on the top of Chof Gimel Malaf that there is no double underline indicating this. There's no rejection of the third approach. So the Gemara. This had been asked. Had lokei se mitzvah oy hanochei se mitzvah. Toshma, the Omar Rova hoya tofus ner Chanukah v'oymed lo asa v'lo klum. A person was holding his Chanukah menorah, and the candles were lit while he's holding his Chanukah menorah. He's holding it. He hasn't fulfilled any mitzvah. Now, but didn't he light it? Yeah. You're telling me, though, he didn't fulfill a mitzvah. Shma Mino Hanocho. So mitzvah. This shows you that it needs to be placed down. It's the placing down that is the fulfillment of the mitzvah. The Gemara rejects this. Hosam, there, Haroya Oimer, there it's worse. There you have a particularly problematic situation. Because the fellow is holding the candles, the person, any onlooker will see, Litzorchu hu denokit lo. The fellow is holding it for his own purposes, as a source of light. And there's no recognition that it was lit to honor or to publicize the miracle. But if you had a situation where it wouldn't give you that impression, that it's for his personal use, so then we would be able to say that the hadloka is oisa mitzvah. As we said, this particular case that the Gemara tried to use to present the case was particularly problematic because you didn't have any element of miracle publicizing. Toshma di Omar Rava. Here we try to prove that hadloka is a mitzvah. Di Omar Rava hidliko b'fnim v'hotzi'a lo osa klum. If he lit his Hanukkah candles indoors, which is not, it's not the right place to light it, and then he brought it outside, he hasn't done anything. If you say that the lighting is the means of fulfilling the mitzvah, you need to do the mitzvah in its right place, the lighting in the right place. Here, he lit in the wrong place. But if you say the placing down of the Hanukkah menorah is the fulfillment of the mitzvah, my loss of aloklum. Why do you say he's done nothing? After all, wherever he lit it, who cares? If you say Hanukkah is a mitzvah, he's now placing it down in the right place. The Gemara rejects this and says, Hosam Nami, there too, there's a problem of what people will say if they see this taking place. Haroya, Hu Omer, the onlooker, will say, Litzorcho hu the adluka. He lit these candles for his own purposes. He needed the light to check something out in his house. And therefore you don't have the fulfillment of miracle publicizing, which is a central theme in the Hanukkah candles. But if you didn't have this problem, then it could very well be that Hanocha is Oisa Mitzvah. Toshma. So here again, we have an attempt to answer the question. That's why we're calling this we have a tuff that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating an answer, and a descending dashed line, which takes us to the upper part of Chof Gimel Omid Aleph. Toshma, the Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ashoshis, we're at the top of Chof Gimel Omid Aleph. Ashoshis is a lantern. Rashi uses a French word, which actually sounds very much like the English word, a lantern, which is a device that holds a lot of oil and can burn for a long time. Ashoshis shahoysu deilekis v'hoileches kol hayom kulo. Here we have this lantern was burning throughout Shabbos. There's a machlokis, Rashi and the Rival in the Tosfos. Let's just say the Tosfos, not the Rival, but the machlokis, Rashi and Tosfos as to what this lantern was lit for. But Rashi's pshat is that this lantern was lit as a Hanukkah candle on Friday for Shabbos. So it was for Shabbos Hanukkah, and this Hanukkah candle in effect burnt throughout Shabbos until Saturday night, and Saturday night is the beginning of the next day. Hanukkah, of course, is an 8-day holiday. So the Rav Shulman Levi says, "L'motzoi Shabbos mechabe u'madlika." When it comes to Motzoi Shabbos, you must put it out and relight it. Relight it for the next day. E'amrs b'shemo hadloka oisa mitzvah shapir. If you say that hadloka is oisa mitzvah, the lighting is what makes the mitzvah, then this process is quite understandable. You have to light it, you have to relight it for the next day of Hanukkah. Elo iamris hanocho is a mitzvah, but if you say that the mitzvah is the placing down of the Hanukkah menorah for that particular day, hai mechabu madliko, that which it said, just mechabu madliko, that would not be accurate. Mechabe, put it out, put out the flame. Umagbia, raise the lantern. Umanicha, place it down. Umadlika, and now light it. Mi boyale, that's what it should have said. There should have been an element of hanocha in Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's teaching. And we don't see that. So apparently the placing down is not that which is of significance. The oid, midukom bevorchinon, and a further proof to what the mitzvah is the text of the brocha. We say Asher Kitshanu b'Mitzvot Zivanu lahadlik ner shel Hanukkah. The text indicates that the mitzvah we were commanded to light the candles. Shmamino hadloka oisa mitzvah shmamino. So from here we conclude that it's the lighting that is the fulfillment of the mitzvah. V'hashto de'amrino hadloka oisa mitzvah. Now that we've concluded this, that the lighting is that which is the performance of the mitzvah. If one of these ineligibles lights your Hanukkah candles, nothing has been fulfilled, because the lighting is the mitzvah, and someone who is ineligible did what would have been the mitzvah. The cheresh, the deaf mute, the shoita, the mentally inept, sometimes translated as the imbecile, katan, the minor, loss of loklum. However, Isha, if a woman lights the Hanukkah menorah, vadai ma Isha vadai madlika, a woman certainly is eligible for lighting Hanukkah candles. The Omer Yishuv ben Levi, noshim chayavos b'ner Hanukkah, women are obligated in this mitzvah. She'af hein hoyu ba'oisu hanes, women too were involved in the miracle. Rashi explains the Greeks had some. Had some evil rulings concerning women that prior to their consummation of their marriage with their husbands, they had to engage in intimacy with the Greek officers. And not only that, but the miracle of Hanukkah is reputed to have taken through the, in other words, the defeat of the Greek army leader was actually accomplished through the intervention of a woman. So as far as who is eligible for the lighting, since the lighting is the mitzvah, you cannot have someone who is incapable or of ineligible or unqualified, but a woman certainly is qualified. And because of Afhein Hoyu Ba'osu Hanes. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.